In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. I'm reading from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. We remember Jesus going into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he opens the book, or unravels the scroll, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." Now, why was he anointed? He sent me to bring glad tidings, the gospel, to the lowly, and to heal the brokenhearted. That's the job description of the Messiah. He was sent to bring the gospel, good news, that he died for you, that he bled for you, that he rose for you. Good news to the lowly and the brokenhearted. Are you lowly today? Are you brokenhearted today? Well, Jesus and his ministry is for you. Jesus and his ministry is for you. And to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. Well, are you captive to your own thoughts? Are you prisoners to your own lives? Have you become such a prisoner that you won't even leave the house because you're afraid? Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ is for the brokenhearted. Jesus Christ has been anointed as Messiah to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty captives and to release prisoners. My friends, this is why Jesus came. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came so that you would experience his touch, his love, and his freedom. You are loved, loved by God. As a matter of fact, he is in love with you. Jesus is in love. And there's a difference between loving and being in love. Jesus is in love with you. How do I know that? Behold the wood of the cross on which hung our salvation. Behold the wood of the cross on which hung our salvation. Jesus, our salvation, our only salvation is Jesus. His blood, his cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He is for you. Now, I'm talking to people that maybe have a pregnancy that's not wanted, a pregnancy that you didn't plan for. But let me tell you, God planned for this pregnancy. God planned for this baby to be born. God has a purpose and a plan for you and for your child. You know, I want to say something like this. The enemy is very bright. What he calls it is choice. Everybody likes choice. You know, choose, if you go to a restaurant, to have a hamburger or a plate of spaghetti. You can choose for that. But you see, choice, when it comes to the unborn, is killing. It's killing. And I know that the abortionist is charged with murder in the heavenlies. It's killing. And, okay, the baby was not planned for. This is the last thing you need. But you know what? This is your love child. And this child will be born, because the Spirit of God is upon me to tell you, the brokenhearted, to tell you, the one who are completely at odds with life, that God has a plan for this child. And he will help you. you will not do this alone. The Lord will help you. He will send his friends to help you. But you have to let people know, you know what I'm saying? This, we just finished the month of October, and at one time, October was called pro-life month. I don't know what they call it now, you know, pro-death month. And we have a playpen filled with clothes and diapers and beautiful dresses and onesies. Didn't know what a onesie was. But for the mothers that have chosen to have their babies, let me tell you, Planned Parenthood sounds so inviting. I plan my children. I'm telling you, it is the biggest baby-killing machine in the whole world. The biggest baby-killing machine in the whole world. They do not give you mammograms. They do not do that. They might give you a pregnancy test, but what they're into is abortion, killing the unborn child. And let me just tell you, Jesus is for the brokenhearted, for liberty to captives and release to the prisoners. I'm going to tell you, that baby is in your womb as a gift, not as a curse. You say, I'm not ready for this baby. I'm going to tell you, the Lord is ready, and he will help you. I'm going to ask Eleanor McCullen to just tell us so some of the stories that just happened this week in front of Planned Parenthood. As the soldiers of the Lord stand there giving witness that Jesus Christ loves the unborn and loves the mother that's going into Planned Parenthood.
Thank you, Father. And I just want to continue in what you just said a minute ago about a beautiful blessing coming into the womb of a young woman, a young mother-to-be. And I've been doing this for 12 years. And Father, once that woman decides that she will keep that baby, I've seen it time and time again where the Lord honors birth and he blesses. I could give you so many stories of blessings. The women, I've never had one person call me and say, you know, I wish I did have that abortion. Everyone that has called and kept in touch with me, they say, this child, just like you said, Father, is the joy of my life. This was the reason I was born, was to have this child. And once we take that step forward in faith and say, yes, I will, with help, as you say, tell people, reach out. There's so much help available. The Lord honors birth. He blesses birth. This is his miracle. He has a mission for this child in the womb. He's ready for that child to come. As you say, Father, we may not be ready, but the God is ready. So I've seen it so many times. The joy comes into the mother's heart. It's the best thing she's ever done. So, and I also want to point out, too, Father, we're working with couples now. You never can figure out why married couples that want children can't have them. It's always a mystery. However, if a person would like to also consider just carrying the baby for 9 months, we have two beautiful, loving couples now that would love to have that little baby. So either way, if you keep the baby in the womb and are the mother, you will receive the joy. The other way of looking at it, you also have joy because you knew the best thing for that child was another loving couple. And that will give you joy. You'll be able to live with that decision also. So I wanted to reiterate what you said, Father. It is true. And, yeah, well, this week, it was, it's always at the end of the morning sometimes. And we, as you said yesterday, we did have a nice group of people. We have 10 witnesses, 10 witnesses for the truth. And what I said to our 10 people, we might say, well, nothing really happened today. We can't say we actually had a case where we heard those wonderful words. We've changed our mind. But a couple things happen when we're witnesses for the truth, and I still invite people to come because 10 people look so powerful. It's intimidating. We are intimidating in our presence, but we're wonderful, gracious, compassionate, joyful people. And people along the street see us, people on buses and trains. We don't know how many cars pull up, and then they see 10 people and they pull off. But one thing I want to remind everybody about, even if nothing, if that happened, the people that work in Planned Parenthood, they hate when the witnesses for Jesus Christ and the truth come, even if it's one or two, because one person that used to work at Planned Parenthood, she left. She became converted and convicted, and we always pray for abortionists. We pray for the people in Planned Parenthood. We pray that that God will touch them with grace, but she has confided that once she has left, and she would tell when people would come outside, because maybe they went to work that morning and they kind of put behind them what they actually are doing at Planned Parenthood, but then they look out and they see one person standing in the rain, one person standing, maybe it's a cold day, and all of a sudden they're convicted. They may not quit the job, but all of a sudden they get squirmy, they get uncomfortable, because so there again, we're touching a lot of people just by being quiet witnesses, just by being prayerful witnesses. We don't have to turn the world upside down with all these beautiful words. Just standing there quietly and prayerfully is so powerful. So Father's referring to two cases this week, and it's always exciting. And the first case was a young couple, about 24 years old, and the woman ran in rather quickly, and the man was lingering behind, and so I was able to get him caught up in a conversation, and he said that he really didn't want this abortion, but what can I do? You know, and this is the other problem. Men, they have no recourse, and this was his child, but he said, what can I do? So I said, well, you have to do something. You can't just take that attitude right now, because everything is still going on now, so we can handle it. So I suggested that he go in and take her hand, and you have to be gentle now. You have to say, I know you're scared. You have to, if you love her, tell her you love her, and take a gentle approach now. And if she needs support, she needs to feel loved. She needs to feel that somebody's going to be there for her. So he listened, and he seemed reluctant, because he said, I don't think I can do this. I've been trying to do it for a couple weeks. I said, well, guess what? It's not too late yet. You can still do it. There's still action to be had here. So I gave him that old pep talk, and so I waited and waited. But meanwhile, other couples came in, and it was a very busy morning. But in about 30 minutes or 30, maybe it was 30 or 40 minutes, I looked over, and there, the couple, they were coming out. Father, there's nothing better. I don't care. Winning the lottery for $1 million. This is the best thing. I see them walking out. So we rush up to them, and we say, what happened? And he said, she didn't have the abortion. So I said, oh, that's wonderful. That's grace. That's beautiful. And he's all smiles. Well, she doesn't look too happy. She's kind of, you know, I said, I know you're emotional right now. This was an amazing grace story. And that's okay. We'll go someplace safe now. We'll take you to a good place where you'll get help with housing or financial help. We'll go to a Woman's Concern in Dorchester, or we'll go to Pregnancy Help in Brighton. We'll surround you with everything now. So she was beginning to feel relaxed and a little half smile at this point. We gave her a rose. Frank Porter brings the roses. We gave her a rose. We gave her one of our baby hats that came in, and it was all joy and praise the Lord. And so that was a wonderful story. And Mary O'Donnell, I work with Mary, Father, and of course we're delighted, but we don't have too much time to be too delighted, because now we're back up at Planned Parenthood, and there was another couple, pretty much the same thing. The man did not want the abortion, and the woman did. So they were talking on the side of the street, and he said, I understand what you people are doing, and we say thank you, but guess what? We're talking over now. We just want to talk this over. So I said, well, you know that other couple you just saw walk out? I said, they made the decision to keep their child, and we're going to help them. And he said, well, we're not there yet. So we said, okay, well, that's all right. Now you just talk about it on the side of the street here, which they did. And, oh, so nerve-wracking, Father. And then we're praying the Divine Mercy Chapel. Picture 10 of us all praying the rosary. I mean, it's just like amazing. It's amazing grace. So that's my second story, because they stayed on the street talking, and then we didn't know what they were going to do. And they walked forward toward us, toward Planned Parenthood. So I said, oh, but guess what? They walked right by Planned Parenthood. So I said, well, we could go someplace safe. And he said, thank you, we're leaving now. We're going to keep that baby. So I said, oh, praise the Lord. So I think they're on their own. So many people, Father, once they get over that crisis time, like, then they have their own doctor, they realize they do have family support. It's just at that moment of, like, I have to do this, I have to do this abortion, get my life back, I want to finish school, I want to get that job, and they rush in. But once we can stop them to say, wait, just wait an hour, don't rush in, then the crisis seems to dissipate. And I always say to the people, fine, you might have that degree, but at what price? You'll walk off that stage with a diploma, but at what price? But I want you to walk off that stage with a diploma and look down in the audience and see your mother holding your little boy on her lap. That's what I want. So that's what we did on Tuesday, and then our group went in to praise the Lord, and we sang songs on Commonwealth Avenue, and it's an amazing kiss. I always say, you know, when we get these little gifts, these little areas where we can see the fruits of our labor, it's like a little kiss from Jesus. It's a little kiss from our God. It's a little kiss of perseverance, like, keep going. So that was the story on Wednesday, Father.
And it happened because you people were out there. It happened because maybe you people were inconvenienced to be out there. It happened because you people took the extra step, went the extra mile. It happened because you people are people who pray. You know, when a woman comes out of Planned Parenthood who's had the abortion, there is no smile on their face. The only thing they're doing is they're crying. They're crying. When a mother decides to have the child, even though it's difficult, the smile comes on their face. It lights up the room. You know, that is the beauty of being pregnant. When a woman is pregnant, something beautiful is in her. Something beautiful is happening. Something wonderful is happening. And when she accepts that reality, the only thing she can do is smile. That doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult. No, we're not living Pollyanna. This is reality. But you know what? It's possible. Because the Lord says that the Spirit of God is upon me. He anointed me and sent me to bring glad tidings to you, the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted. Maybe you've had an abortion and your heart is broken. Well, Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. He doesn't want you to live in that state of torment. That is not of God. He comes to heal the brokenhearted. He comes to save the brokenhearted. You might say, but I had 3 abortions. You know what? The Lord has come to heal the brokenhearted. No matter what you've done, He's always ready to bring blessing and healing to you because that's His nature. What you need to do is go to confession and find a priest that understands. Find a priest that will hear you. Find a priest that will sit with you, cry with you. Find a priest that will be there as Jesus is there for you. My friends, it's all about life, because without life, we have nothing. And I'm telling you, it all started many years ago with birth control, people wanting to control what they had. They wanted to plan their children. I'm telling you this, my friends, this is real, because the birth control mentality has given us the abortion mentality. And now, question number 2 states physician-assisted suicide. It's all related. And we have to be against this. This is against God. This is against life. This is against people. Assisted physician suicide. You know what it is? They give you 100 succinols, which is a very powerful drug, and they say, you go home and take them, and then you go home and take them and die like a dog, all alone, all alone. It's suicide. It's suicide. And you know what? That's very difficult for people that are left. I'm going to tell you, when people die, it's hard enough. But when people take their own life, oh my gosh, that is so hard for the people around them. It's hard for them because, you know what? I would not want to be judged by God that I took my own life. So, you know, this life in store for us. You might say, but you see, I'm in a wheelchair. Well, you know what? You're beautiful to God. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You can pray. If you have no one to pray for, you can pray for me. You're beautiful. The Lord has come to save the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives. You might be captive to that wheelchair, but he wants to give you new life in the midst of it. I remember the woman that said to me, she had a beautiful smile on her face. This is way before I was a priest, way before I went into the seminary. I was asked to give 3 days of a retreat during Holy Week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And at the end of my first talk, I went up to this lady and said, you have such a beautiful smile. And she said, you know, I always didn't have the smile. I was always depressed, but I would say to the Lord, if you heal me, I'll smile, and everyone will see me smile, and I'll tell what happened. And she said, I was a depressed person. I don't know why I was depressed, but I was. But one day the Lord touched me, and he put a smile on my face. And you see, you asking, you know, you're asking me about the smile. Well, I'm telling you, the smile is so real because Jesus touched me, changed me. And I'm telling you this, God has plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope. If you seek me, if you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me with you. I have plans for your child. I have plans to heal the brokenhearted. I have plans to set at liberty the captives. I have plans to release the prisoners that are prisoners to themselves. I have plans. I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Killing will only lead you to depression. Do not kill. Do not destroy the unborn. Do not destroy your life. God has plans for you. You are loved by the Eternal Father. You are loved in the midst of your mess. You might not even see a way out of the mess, but you know what? Jesus is the gate, and we go in and come out of the gate. We go through the gate. He is the gate, and he is the way in, and he is the way out. His name is Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the good shepherd. He cares about you. You are not a number to him. You are a name to him. You are personally loved by him. He gave his life for you. He bled for you. He was buried for you. He rose from the dead for you. It's all about him wanting to bless you, wanting to give you new life, wanting to give you something that the world doesn't have, and they call it hope. And this hope does not fail. Why? Because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This hope does not fail because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let me read it again. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Jesus said this in Nazareth at the synagogue. He has sent me to bring the gospel, glad tidings to the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, and to announce a year of favor from the Lord and the day of vindication by our God, and to comfort all who mourn, and to place on those who mourn in Zion a diadem instead of ashes, and to give them the oil of gladness in place of mourning, a glorious mantle instead of a listless spirit, and they will be called oaks of justice planted by the Lord to show his glory. That is Isaiah 61. Read it, the first three verses. Just read it and see the plans that God has for you. Read it and see that the Word of God is a living Word. I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God, proclaiming life. Tuesday is Election Day. Vote. Please vote. One candidate is pro-life and the other candidate is pro-choice. Vote. Vote. One candidate is pro-marriage. And the other candidate is anybody can marry you, a dog, no, not a dog, but a man and a woman and a woman. Marriage has already been established by God, and it's a man and a woman. Vote, please vote, and vote no on question two, which is a physician-assisted suicide. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.